Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The latest in a series of public meetings on oil lease sales in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge again drew a big crowd last night. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that over 100 protesters gathered outside an Anchorage meeting, including Samuel Johns, whose mother is from Arctic Village on the edge of the refuge.
No offense to y'all, but the first person in there to speak was a white man in support of ANWR, in support of development. To me, that's a slap in the face to my people.
Testimony at the meeting was mixed. Many protesters came inside to speak against development, citing impacts to subsistence, the climate, and wilderness. Others with labor and industry groups spoke in favor of development. Jason Allward was there representing Operating Engineers Local 302.
The leases, the development, the production of ANWR's natural resources are vital to our future, and this project can be done responsibly.
The meeting ran over 5 hours, but not long enough to accommodate everyone who wanted to testify. The comment period officially ends June 19th. A Bureau of Land Management spokeswoman says the agency has received many requests to extend it. BLM is holding another public meeting on development in ANWR today in Utqiagvik. Additional meetings are planned for June in Kaktovik, Vinatai, and Washington, D.C. The University of Alaska Fairbanks will lead an investigation of heavy oil extraction technology on the North Slope. The U.S. Department of Energy announced $7 million in funding for the project yesterday as DOE Research Laboratory representatives gathered in Fairbanks for National Lab Day events. DOE Science Undersecretary Paul DeBar says the project follows agency-backed extraction research that led to the Lower 48 oil and gas production boom.
And what we want to try to do is to try to help the innovation here in Alaska for unique Alaska geography and geology.
I think the future is heavy oil or viscous oil.
UAF Petroleum Engineering Department Chair Abhijit Dandekar says the DOE project will explore a technique that could enable extraction of thick crude locked in frozen North Slope oil fields.
We have some challenges such as permafrost, so we cannot really deploy some of the typical techniques that are used, such as, you know, heat to reduce the viscosity. So this particular funding is focused on injecting polymer.
Dandekar says it's estimated that the North Slope fields hold 25 to 30 billion barrels of heavy oil. The polymer injection technique will be tested at the Milne Point field. Three other universities are involved in the UAF project, which will be managed by the National Energy Technology Laboratory. Another collaboration announced in sync with National Lab Day teams UAF with Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Richland, Washington. UAF Alaska Center for Energy and Power Hydrokinetic Energy Program Director Jeremy Casper says a memorandum of understanding will facilitate information sharing on ocean and river-driven turbine research.
They've got a lot of expertise in sonar. They've got a lot of expertise in modeling, fish interaction modeling, and those will all apply in the river systems as well.
Casper says UAF connected with PNNL through an underwater video project used to monitor the effect of debris on river turbines.
PNNL has done some work on analyzing video data from the Quijack River. They were looking at fish there, and we have a system for looking at logs on the Tanana River. And so we really were scratching our heads over analyzing that high volume of data, and PNNL looks like has the personnel already working on something very similar.
Casper notes that the Center for Energy and Power has a wave energy converter project in Yakutat that PNNL's expertise directly applies to. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski brought the Department of Energy's annual Lab Day to Fairbanks. During opening remarks yesterday, Murkowski described Alaska as a place where challenges lead to solutions.
So if you're looking to prove a concept or demonstrate a new technology, chances are if you can make it work here, you can make it work practically anywhere else.
Murkowski used electricity microgrids in remote communities as an example of Alaskan innovation.
Dozens of remote villages are adding renewables to their microgrids to form these hybrid systems that can cut down on costs as well as emissions.
Murkowski says the systems are being used as models in other isolated places around the world. Another City of Fairbanks deadline for cleanup of the demolished Masonic Temple has come and gone. Tourist season is in full swing in downtown Fairbanks, but city spokeswoman Teal Soden says the city has agreed to give the property owner a little more time to clear the rubble.
2 to 3 days. I mean, mean, they said it would take 2 or 3 days, and the only thing they're waiting for is for the road restrictions to be taken off.
The state limits truck waits until roadbeds stabilize in early June. Masonic Temple property owner Harold Gretzma says waiting until then will reduce the number of dump truck loads it takes to remove the debris, but it'll still be a big job.
You're looking at probably about 20 or 30 trips. Big 40-yarders.
The Masonic Temple was demolished in March after its roof partially collapsed from heavy snow load, and the remaining historic structure was considered unstable. Gretzma expects the cost of clearing the rubble and dumping it at the landfill to total about $80,000. I'm Dan Bross.